Good afternoon, everyone, and please be welcome to the earnings conference call of the fourth quarter 2023 of Energisa. We inform you that this video conference is being recorded and is going to be available on the company's IR website, where the current presentation will be available. We highlight that for those that may need simultaneous translation, we have this tool available at the globe icon, Written Interpretation, located at the bottom area of your screen. By selecting it, choose your preferred language, Portuguese or English. For those listening to the video conference in English, there's the option of mute the original audio in Portuguese by clicking and mute original audio. For the Q&A, question and answer session, we guide you that those questions must be sent via the Q&A icon located at the bottom area of your screen. By dynamics, your names will then be announced so that you can ask your question live. At this moment, a request to activate your microphone will show up on your screen. Considering that some of the panelists are remote, instabilities may occur on the video conference, impacting on the answer time, especially during the Q&A. We are counting with your comprehension. We reinforce that the information contained on this presentation and eventual statements that may be done during the video conference related to business perspectives, projections, and operational goals and financial goals of Energisa, they constitute on beliefs and premises of the administration of the company, such as information currently available. Future statements are not proof of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and premises because they refer to future events and they depend on circumstances that may or not occur. Investors must comprehend that economic conditions, market conditions, and other operational factors may affect the future performance of Energisa and conduct results that materially differ with those expressed on such future considerations. Now I would like to give the word to Ricardo Botelho, President Director of the company, to start the presentation. Ricardo, please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good afternoon. First, I would like to appreciate the presence of everyone on this presentation of the fourth quarter of 2023. With me are the CFO and Investor Relations Director, Maurício Botelho, Vice President of Regulations and Institutional Relations, Fernando Maia, Vice President of Energetic Solutions and Leader of Energisa, Alberto Godoy, President Director of ES Gás, Fabio Bertollo, and the team of Investor Relations. I kindly ask that you guys must pay attention to the information that we have here, warnings about before any decision taken in the company. Before we start with the highlights, I would like to say that the results of 2023 were reached thanks of a strong governance culture adapted to dynamic sector that is in intense transformation. We show that our business is energy in all its forms available. And aware of this, we look at a big way, big perspective to help all the needs, energetic needs of our customers. Consensus with the search, permanent search to be your loyal partner, ideal partner, bringing safety, stressful, and sustainability for you guys. With deep knowledge of the business, our company is going to be reaching 120 years of working in 2025. On this journey, we reach here with a growth of the EBITDA on the last 10 years of 30% per year and net income of 29% per year. Because we know how to anticipate movement, market movements, and evolve aligning experience and boldness at the right measure. During our transformation trajectory, energy distribution remains central in our business and give us the expertise to be highly efficient in new markets. In 2023, we invested 4.4 billion reais on the segment, guaranteeing operational excellence to our customers and going beyond the regulatory obligations. We applied 565 million reais in transmission, and we confirmed our capability of conduct relevant projects and start before like the deadline. 2024 is not going to be different. We estimate 6 billion reais of investments on the group companies. focusing on decarbonization and on the offer of a robust ecosystem and of energetic solutions. We have Energisa that closed the year with one of the biggest companies of photovoltaic energy in Brazil, with more than 360 megawatts peak capacity, and reinforced the presence on commercialization. And this year, we also stepped our entrance on the gas market with the acquisition of ES Gás and Agric, diversifying our portfolio. And I highlight again our compromise is to improve the quality of life of people and collaborate to make the country become like a main character, a main role on energy fair and sustainable. Besides the highlights already told, we closed the year 2023 with the historic EBITDA of 7.6 billion reais and a net income of more than 729 billion reais on the last quarter. Best performance of the year. Reflected for mainly because of a year with climatic conditions that helped, that imposed the growth of the market and the level of sales of energy. We're going to be focusing on this further. Like this, now I give the word to Maurício Botelho, CFO and Director of Investor Relations of the group, to follow with the presentations on the fourth quarter of 2023. Thank you so much. Good afternoon. I thank you guys for being here on this earnings conference call of Energisa. On the first slide here, focusing on the financial results of the quarter of 2023, I highlight the consistent growth of EBITDA adjusted recurring, evolved 26.3% on the quarter and 21% comparing to 2022. The segment of distribution of energy contributed with almost 6.7 billion per year, following transmission that added 594 million in 2023. In terms of net income recurrent, we had a result of 508 million in the quarter, 5.1% beneath the fourth quarter of 2022. And by the sum of the year, the reduction was 2.8%, totaling almost 1.7 billion. On the quarter, the reduction of the net income recurring is explained because of the buy actions and shares of the EPM. The impacts consolidated with no share. We gave us a revenue of 76 million points on the quarter 2023 and expense of 245.5 million on the fourth quarter 2022. And talking about PMSO, we presented an increment of 13% comparing between quarters. And I would like to highlight that the segment of the energy distribution. And following this line of business in 2023, we started working with the Resolution 1000 of ANEEL. And on this year, we made some adjustments and we reached a great level of PMSO in virtue of these new like demands. And we expanded the services available and we got like shorter, closer deadlines. We'd like to highlight as well the quality of the service always was our focus. And now it's more important by the measure that the customers' regulated society become more like demanding. To improve the resilience of the network and the climatic events, we work with trying to do the excellence, serving excellence to our customers. We ally our experience in technology to optimize the costs and minimize the effect of any penalties for not following everything. In this way, the PMSO on the distribution had a growth of 9.4% and was around like 80 million reais on additional costs and a total of 129 millions, adding and not adding consolidated. According to the growth verified on the quarter and adding up, summing up, when we compare with the level of the PMSO in 2019, pre-pandemic, and updated up with the inflation to December 2023, we had a reduction of 8% when compared to the level of the costs of 2023. On the next slide, we're going to be talking about investments. on the previous 2 years and what we expect for the year that's following by. The investment all investments was 7.8% lower than investments 2022 by a mingle during 2022 and to half of 2023. The group focused in investments on five distributors of energy that were like in a tax review. It was Mato Grosso do Sul, Sergipe, Paraíba, and Acre Rondônia. Just these companies presented it in 2023, 60% of the EBITDA adjusted total. Adding on talking about distributed generation, we accelerated investments in 2022 because of the regulatory mark that happened in January 2023. And on the sum of the year, we kept investing more than 2022. It was 921 millions against 843 million. And the transmission segment, we practically kept the level investments because we have some projects that are still happening. And we had 565 millions in 2023. And as we said in the mark in January, we expect to invest 6.8 billion in 2024. I would like to highlight as well, we have a growth expected of 560 millions more on the distribution segment, and we're going to be aporting around almost 5 billion reais. And on the gas segment, yes, gas, we're going to be doubling the investment related to 2023, and we're going to be investing 100 million reais. Next slide, please. We're going to be talking about the debt. We closed the quarter with the EBITDA adjusted level on 3.1 times. That's the lower that we got like on the last quarter was 3.3 and show like improvement of the position of the share position of the group. So highlight on this slide our pro forma vision. If we check the effects all of the fallout that just happened in January this year, where the same like indicator reduces to 2.8 times. It shows our discipline to keep the strong level investments and open like spaces, breaches to future individual future investments, inorganic investments. We close here the highlights over the consolidated highlights. And now we're going to be talking about of each like business segments on the next slide. We're going to be talking about like distribution, the fourth quarter. It was relevant. We're going to be highlighting the evolution of the EBITDA recurrent adjusted that had a growth of 25.3% comparing the quarters. And for the recurring net income, that had a growth of 32.6% comparing between quarters. And annual basis, the distribution segment had a growth of 704 million reais on the year. And talking about adjusted recurring EBITDA, and we reached 6.1 billion reais, representing 86% of the EBITDA consolidated raw. The growth of the market and the re tax reviews, they were fundamental factors for the improvement of these financial indicators. How we're going to be looking, seeing next year. Look that in 2023, we had like some tax reviews that were good and a bit good evolution, and it was like really representative. In the GSG, for example, they had a growth plus like post inflation and everything, 22%. And the Mato Grosso had a growth of 44%, and Mato Grosso do Sul 34%. And all these three processes were concluded in April last year. And the concessions of Rondônia and Acre, they passed for the tax review in December last year, and they showed a growth and 52 and 42% respectively. I would like to highlight the main that the group invested more than 10.6 billion in the last cycle of tax revisions. That's reflects of the good allocation of capital, and that's the base of the income, consolidated income of the Energisa group that sums 21.6 billion reais in December 2023. On the slide, we're gonna be talking about like about the factors that help on the quarter, helping the last quarter. It was a growth of 13% on the consumption of energy, electric on the market captive, the recurrent. And it was because of the weather, because it was hot and less like less rains on north and northeast, and on the heat wave on the second semester, especially on the center west area. As a reflection of this, we had a growth of 17.4%, and the distributors with the biggest variations for the fourth quarter. On the next slide, we're going to be talking more about the weather and the El Niño that happened, and we illustrate the correlation between the market growth and the need of cooling, but the cooling degree days, or CDD. This indicator gives us information about the degrees day above the reference being calculated, because we said, like, start with the difference between the cities most representative and like as a reference, like a comfort temperature. We had an increasement of 26% for a growth of market that was 13%. And we'll follow into the next topic, talk about like total loss of energy. We keep working consistently beneath the regulatory level in the last 24 months. Our loss index was 12.63%, 0.21 percentage points beneath the limit. Comparing to the previous quarter, the group increased the loss in 0.24 percentage points because of the consumption. That is important to highlight that the growth happened because of the losses non-technical variation of 3.3% on the comparing over the last quarter, while the technical losses had a reduction, a duration of 0.6%. We believe that this phenomenon of the growth of the losses is not going to be like reverted with the what we're working like to fix it up. We'll go into the next slide talking about the quality level. The distributors of Grupo Energisa, they had excellent performance, presenting indicators beneath the regulatory limits for DEC and FEC in all concessions. Some companies highlighted and reached the best results in our circle on DEC and FEC. Let's talk about Paraíba and São Silvestre. Alliance, a substantial improvement of 10.2% on the DEC and 12.5% FEC for the Acre region. As we said on the beginning of the presentation, the year of 2023 was like more rigid on the quality control presented by the distributors. On the next slide, we're going to be talking about the official circular office text 44 of ANEEL that established that aiming to improve the conformity regulatory of the indicators and continuity, distributors, they must reach a minimum percentage of 80% because of the regulatory limits of DEC and FEC until 2026. Some companies that who doesn't follow these goals, you're going to be subject to penalties. To reinforce that, we invested around like 2.5 times more with the regulatory depreciation, reinvestments in reinforcements of the structures and maintenance plans. They improve the operational margin for the regulatory levels and quality, and they help us on the recomposition, like the restoring position on the weather situations. Energisa is on the top, on the comp is on top, like compared to the other companies with the regulatory limits. And for those that are not following it up, we're safe that with correct allocation and investments, we're going to be reaching within the deadline for each company. Next slide, please. Talking about like the debt. We have a reduction of this level on distributors. On the Desenrola program, we reverted 30.8 million, the best performance on the electrical collaborating with a consolidated tax of 1% by the end of 2023, representing a reduction of 77 million reais comparing to 2022. So by default, it was good. And now we're going to be talking with the natural gas. Here we with the main indicators of the company in the quarter. I'm going to be highlighting the improvement of the EBITDA of the company on 3.3% when we analyze the sum of the year for the increase of investments of 50% on the year, and we more than doubled the investment when we compare the quarters. Since we acquired ES Gás, July 2023, we have some records. First one, 111% of growth on the level of investments, 33.3 kilometers of network expansion post-acquisition, totaling 541 kilometers of network. So June before the privatization, just so you guys understand, we had a growth, the company had a growth of only 5.4 kilometers of network on the portfolio. Highlight again, more than 1,000 calls of customers in last month. Now we have more than 82,000 clients. Now the next segment, that's transmission. The fourth quarter 2023, we highlight the increase of the margin of the regulatory EBITDA, basically because of the smaller PMSO in 2023, because we have the incorporation of the Gemini Group to the Energisa. Next slide. Now we'll talk about total RAP for the cycle 2023-2024, 779 million reais, without considering around 40 million reais of optical fiber of the companies that came from Gemini Group. We keep and co-working intensely with the conclusion of the actives that are not 100% operational. We have four projects in construction, and the physical advancements are demonstrated on the slides. As usual, we always aim to anticipate the entrance on operating, not, and like this, improving the portfolio, the return of the portfolio. Now we're talking about Energisa, in charge responsible for the non-regulated results of the group. The EBITDA of Energisa that consider results of the distributed energy generation and of the servers that aggregate value. We had a growth of 82% comparing the year of 2022, reaching a total of 193 million reais. Highlight here the distributed generation that aggregated 99 million has EBITDA on the period, and the commercialized that closed the year with 71.6 million as a historical record for the segment. The investments, they keep like work intense, they kept intense by current during 2023 and totaled 936 million in the year, which represented a growth of 7.6% comparing the quarter of 2022. Talking about distributed generation, we conclude the year with 351 megawatts peak of capacity and 90 power plants. The most updated number is 363 more megawatts peak and 93 power plants. Our sales team keeps work offering our products by solar signs, and had a growth of more than 30% on our base of plants, and we have more to 12,000 customers. And talk about the commercializer of the group, besides, despite being a challenging year, when talk about the perspective of the price of energy, we managed to have a growth in the number of new contracts in a relevant way. 2024 already started with some changes on this segment just because of the opening of the market on high tension, and we are ready to have like a main role and relevant to conquer a huge number of customers for the free market. And here I close my highlights with the quarter, and now I open the place for some Q&A session. Thank you. Now we're going to be starting the Q&A session. We kindly ask that you ask all at once, waiting for the answer of the company. Remembering you guys that to make questions, we guide you guys that it must be made through the Q&A icon on the bottom area of your screen. By dynamics, your names will then be announced so that you can ask your question live. At this moment, a request to activate your microphone will show up on your screen. Please wait while we collect the questions. Now, first question comes from Marcelo Sá, sell-side analyst from Itaú. Marcelo, we're going to be opening your audio so that you can ask your question live. Marcelo, please go ahead. Hello. Hello, can you guys hear me? Yeah. So I have a question. Talk about the renewal of the concession distribution process. We're talking about the ministry or all the ideas about the reform on the last week that it didn't like go out till now. In parallel to this, and we're talking about the PL of the deputy Bacelar, and when this voting is going to be happening. How do you guys think about the conversations with the politics about this question, or if this can like move forward on the Congress, or still stays with the government? Not with you guys. Thank you so much. Now I'm going to be giving this. We're passing words from Fernando Maia. Hi, Marcelo. All right. We are all following this up, the occurrences that are happening. Even Xi understands that the process is being well conducted by the Ministry of the Congress. And we already got the green light from the TCU to start. As you say recently, we talk about like 30 days to with the publication, with the releasing of the decree. That's the 30 days that didn't like. The deadline didn't happen yet. So we should be waiting a couple more days. And it already allows us to move like forward with the new form. So it's natural that they want to participate in this and influentiate about this. And talk about like interlocution, like communication between the Congress, the politics. And this should be made by like by the government, but it's not directly with the distributors. But do you believe that given the relevance, the importance of this with the economy and everything, the project, the original project with the Bacelar, it expects like the prorogation, like we keep working with this, so we keep firm believing that by the end of all of this discussion, and it's natural, the concessions will be like they're going to be happening in a way that we guarantee that for us to be working at the productivity and everything. We're discussing like the improvements of the quality by this kind of service, the energy service. If I can compliment on this, talking about quality, do you think that these goals they must be followed? Maybe they could be compared talking with the past, talking about renewal. We shouldn't be having like such results better than the press talking about the history comparing 10 years. And if they did or not, if they can help with the renew or not, or we give some goals and then we can adjust this maybe with the time being. So we don't expect any surprises with this because of the safety of everything. So we expected that something that's going to be. We're going to be something, some like goals to be checked up, and the companies that like have a good performance, the customers that are happy with the services, they're going to be approved like without any kind of problem. The ones that are in a conflictual situation, as we say, they may like happen in 2023, adjustment time because they have like more like strict goals and challenges. So that it can adjust with this in the next 5 years, maybe by penalty of have to transfer the control if they don't reach those goals. And it happened 2020, 2015, but no surprises. Thank you so much. Remind you guys that make questions. We ask you that you send them via the Q&A icon located at the bottom area of your screen. And by Dynamics, your names will then be announced so that you can ask your question live. Wait a little bit while we collect some questions. We have a question here that Olivia is going to be sending the question. Okay, good afternoon. Who sent the question was Aline Souza. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for the numbers. If you guys could like explore, talk about the PMSO on the quarter, talking about ANEEL, the company understands that this level of PMSO is sufficient or no by the regulator on the next divisions? Talking about like revenue. That was the question. I'm gonna split this because we have two questions in the same item. First one, as we explained during the presentation, we have new patterns of PMSO, new levels. And what with these new quality levels? If you compare this with the, we had some hirings during the year 2023 that, the year 2023 is not still full talking about costs of PMSO. To adequate to the new patterns. We have a little bit of this curve happening right now. But the most of it already happened on 2023. And talking about how can I say? Talk about regulatory. Now I'm gonna give this information to Fernando Maia. Good afternoon, Alejandro, talking about operational costs and the model and the regulatory comparing the companies. The information that we got from the regulator about these new demands, they followed up an increment of the payments of financial compensations to the consumer, the customers, if those levels were in reach. The group initiatives in a prudent way, we analyzed this, and it's way better than a little bit better for us to increase the levels of PMSO to reach the indicators than to keep paying compensation and losing this money for customers, for like unhappy customers and customers in the first place. So if the company's like a whole and other companies, they were like this, they work like this, and they elevated their costs to reach those demands, it naturally reaches a pattern, like comparison pattern, that is going to be a knowledge in a tax way on the next cycle of revisions, of reviews. And those that were not prudent, they're not going to be total covered, and they're still going to be paying like those compensations for consumers, for the customers. Thank you for the answer. Another reminder that for any questions, we advise that you send them via the Q&A icon located at the bottom area of your screen. And by Dynamics, your names will then be announced so that you can ask your question live. Let's go to the next question. It's from Vitor Poli, investor. We're going to be opening your audio so that you can ask your question. Vitor, please go ahead. Ask here for Olivia to that she can like say the question. Good afternoon. What are the possibilities for the resources on the follow-up on follow-on? As we explained on the follow-on, the resources they aim to keep a comfort of like leveling up of the company. We have some like strong investments to be made as we talked about on this presentation, almost like 6 billion on 2024, and with this For the first years, it's just going to be for the leveling up, and this gives us margin to work with projects, growth projects, inorganics as well. Thank you so much. And just a reminder that for you guys to make some questions, we let you guys know that you should send them via the Q&A icon located at the bottom of your screen. And then by Dynamics, your names will then be announced so that you can ask your question live. Wait a little bit while we collect the questions. Now we're going to the next question from Gustavo Faria, sell-side analyst from Bank of America. Gustavo, we're going to be opening your audio so you can ask your question live. Gustavo, please go ahead. Hi guys, all good. My ask is about the Office 44, 2022 from Lanel. We talked about DEC and FEC, and we look at some bases like. We see that Mato Grosso do Sul, and Sergipe are still beneath like 80% of then leveling up. We can still like expect some growth until 2026. We'd like to expect any real growth of PMSO on those actives, or they're not like rounded up. And on the other ones that are already rounded up, if we can expect any like cost reductions on the next quarters. Well, I'm gonna be sending for Jorelli. Good afternoon. Actually, as you said, the trajectory to 2026. So we have an investment plan that you're going to be working. We have the expenses to be reaching those goals to the time with what we planned and what we expect, and like the expenses with what we practice. So we don't see any like any innovation, any raises, or we just like do some checks to be like rounded up without any further variations. And there's a follow-up about the actives that are already rounded up. What do you think about like the PMSO recurrent ones since we realized an increase in the last few years? If we are going to be like, we should be having any like falls. As we explained, this growth happened because of the on like some demands that they gave us, and we do the adequations on the level, the MSO levels during the year of 2023, and it didn't start full. And we did like an additional one in 2024. Now it's going to be rounding up, and we talk about the quality of the service on those companies that those that already have the quality. We just do the maintenance expensive. So there are like two different questions to talk about this. And on the main aspect, 2023 was the change of the regulation in the aspects on 2023. And on the regulatory like goals that we have on the quality of service on those companies, that when you reach of 80%, some reach sooner, some not. And we have the CapEx and APEX for like the maintenance segment. Thank you guys. Okay. Thank you. And now we're going to the next question. It comes from Guilherme Lima, sell-side analyst from Santander. Guilherme, you're going to be opening your audio so that you can ask your question live. Guilherme, please go ahead. Thank you guys. Thanks for the question. I'd like to
to talk about the volume on the markets. We had a stronger like volume on the fourth quarter because of the growth of the weather and everything. And I will talk about El Niño and everything. And now we're now paying attention. We're talking about like La Niña for the second semester and what you guys have a perspective on volume on market or on the group on the course of 2024 and talking about the our expectation about the CP62, about the regulatory system. What do you guys expect about timing, potential changes of what they propose first to the public? Because remember that the companies, they made some like statements about some numbers and everything. Okay. Okay, I'm gonna answer a part of it. And if you want my Instagrams, in fact, you're right. We expect La Niña on the second semester, yes. On the first quarter, so we'll like work strongly. We're gonna be like working in both with a strong year, strong semester, and the second semester a little bit slower. It'll be like an average year without like any bigger surprise. I'm talking about CP62, Finalmente. And we're talking about this like for quite some time with the government, with some changes and everything by now. But what we're following up, what happened about this, we have to close the analysis on the next few weeks or month maybe. Then with this, you're gonna be checking about the for the directors to approve it, talking about LV and everything. He's gonna be closing his like government in May, and he'd like to finish it up, not leaving anything behind. Okay. Probably is up to the month of May when he leaves. Okay. Thank you so much. Reminder that make some questions. We advise that you send them via the Q&A icon located at the bottom area of your screen. And by Dynamics, your names will then be announced so that you can ask your question live. Now we're going to the next question. It comes from Bruno Freitas, buy-side analyst from Bahia Asset. Bahia. Bruno, we're going to be opening your audio so that you can ask your question live. Bruno, please go ahead. Good afternoon, everyone. Can you hear me? Yes, please go ahead. Okay, thank you. Mauricio, can you please talk about any effects, non-recurring effects on the quarter, especially about Acre and Rondônia, and explain a little bit more like what happened and about to market on the commercialization. Okay, Bruno, good afternoon. Look, the company, we do like regularly some adjustments on actives and everything. We're going to be adding, we're going to be checking the taxes and everything. We do it like regularly. And we have a tax review process. And you have to double check this. And then you start doing the cleanup on some items that were not considered. And talking about Acre and Rondônia, we had like some marvelous increments, like 50% on Acre and everything. And talking about the numbers, we had some like losses in that. And talk about like active losses and everything. We were marketing networking corporations. They were investments that made by like third parties. And we have to absorb this. They have to update this. They have to buy those actives. And depending on the deadline, it was really common on those companies that were like, that had the privatization process.
They're still like way behind with the Grupo Rede and everything. Some delays that happened with the consumer, the customer, with those investments. So we have to correct this, adjust this, financially speaking, to the customer. And we don't have like the number on this in the regulatory. So we have to do like this cleanup to adequate everything yet. In some of those cases, in Rondônia. And like in Fiscal, we had to we had some discussions on taxes, state taxes, on Acre. But we had some opportunities with like a good discount, a good opportunity. So we got it. I'm talking about this, those are the most like relevant items that they are part of like our day on our data basis on tax reviews. But they had like a big impact on this. And talk about like the markings and the mark-to-market commercialization. I'm gonna be calling Leandro. He's gonna be answering you. Hello, Don. Thanks for the question. I'm Leandro Sal, commercialization director of Energisa. I talk about commercialization and of Energisa, talking about MTM mark-to-market. I'll talk about like the commercialization, everything about prices. There's a comment about this. The year of 2023, we had a anticipated number from 2022 as well. So, and it gave us like a positive results on the history of the company. On the last quarter, we had a huge impact because of the there's gonna be that impacted a little bit on the market and everything, but we work with a lot of the due diligence to check this up with our expositions and everything. And talking about the context of the market, we had a great a very important results talking about the reasons of the market and strategies and entering and closing like some positions. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Just one follow-up. Talking a bit, the 1.8 bit, it's still not considering. It's not considering the, those effects, right? No, it is. Thank you. Thanks so much. Let's go to our next question. It goes from Fernando Fachin, buy side analyst. We're going to be opening your order so they can ask your question. Fernando, please go ahead. Good afternoon, everyone. How are you guys? I wrote this, but I can like speak it here, no problem. First, on the time like working by. This is the second question. You had some you try to simplify the group societary group and this had a communication like a unification of distributors, minority buyings. What do you think that the company has to do? We have a lot of like companies in it inside it, and by which foot we are in this, and what are the next steps? And the next question is about like the next 5, 10 years. If we can talk about like the a company less exposed to distributions, I'm talking about gas, transmission, distribution. Well, how do you guys see the company? How do you see directing this? And you have to see it up. I know because you guys do all these follow-ups. We're talking about like new acquisitions and everything, but independently about the short term, where do you guys aim to reach? Thank you. Okay. So keep following the order of the question. So about simplifying the societary groups,
the last 2 years, we did two important ones. We had the fusion of incorporation of the Energias Nova Friburgo and Minas Gerais. And last year we did Energisa Borborema, Energisa Paraíba. They're part of the process. We still have some positions in some companies that we need to. It's a little bit complicated to really check to do this right now about acquisitions and changes and everything. And depending of the investors, they don't understand it or not. And about more complex situations, they demand like a lot of effort for just a little bit of benefits, so small benefits. So it's just a small benefit that becomes expensive to do this. But we are like paying attention on the possibilities of trying to simplify some stuff on these questions on minority positions and everything on other companies. And on the second question about the oh, that was about 7 to 5 to 10 years. What do you think? That's a subject, to project here that's a little really complicated for us to talk about this. But that's a wish that we have in here to make it smaller. The percentage of on the distributions on portfolio total portfolio. We hope expect to have a more diversified portfolio and. That's a hard work because we're like really exposed to doing this with everything and any growth. That's really like strong work for us to do, but we are here like to work. We have like 85% today, and we keep insisting that to find some alternatives and the growth on inorganic growths, they might be the way to reach this in a way a little bit faster. Okay. Just 1 point. Now I've talked about the first part of the question, but I know that's still the case on the minorities. They're like really small, but if it keeps like reflecting on that, there are some things here that were best like this, then make the inorganic acquisition and everything, or it would be better maybe to buy. Well, some of the distributors, the relevant ones, on this case maybe, it's going to be more complex. So eventually, it's going to be like a great capital allocation because you already know how it works and everything. And what do you guys see of it? But like, you need the salesman help. That's an example of token chains. We have a relevant position, percentually speaking, and we can control it. What the state wants to do or not, about like alienation, everything about this, even with the big percentage of it, but the others are like really small. Now let's see. So south southwest 0 point something, yeah. Mato Grosso is 2.2%, something like this, yeah. So talk about like expressive, like that. Only token chains. Cool, thank you. Okay, just a reminder to make some questions. We tell you that they should be sent via the Q&A icon in the bottom area of your screen. And by Dynamics, your names will then be announced so that you can ask your question live. One moment while we collect the questions. Let's go to our next question. It comes from Birajarinas. We're going to be opening your audio so that you can ask your question live. Birajara, please go ahead. I'm going to be reading the question. If it wasn't asked by me, but I would like to know about about the default dividends. If it's going to be the political of this will be following up without any alterations. Dividends, yes. On 2024, still talking about this on default information that we have on that administration office, we still expect the maintenance of 35%. That's the minimal statutory and 50%. So should be keeping on this level. Lately, we are cl more closer to the 35 than the 50. Thank you for the answer. And then reminding that to make some questions, we guide that they should be sent via the Q&A icon located at the bottom of your screen. And then by Dynamics, your names will then be announced so that you can ask your question live. Operator, we're like reaching our limit on time. I request the closing on the Q&A. Okay, thank you. Without further questions, we close the Q&A session. We close the video conference. We're talking about the earnings conference call of the fourth quarter of 2023 of Energisa. The investor relations department is available to answer further questions and doubts. Thank you so much, and have a good afternoon.